The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Brother Hasnain Rajab Ali.
All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I begin in His blessed name for giving us this opportunity to have these discourses, to tweak and to invigorate the mind and to alleviate our confidence and, as we say, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question I'm going to ask you is, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, did he have any allegorical verses when he read the Quran? When he read an ayah, was it ambiguous to him? No. Everything was muhkam, because he is muhkam himself. He's a clear warner. Innama ana nadhirun mubin. There's no ambiguity with him. There's no gray area with the Prophet. You ask Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he reads the Quran, they were completely walking, talking Quran. When they read a verse, were they confused about its meaning? No. Because their heart was completely submissive to Allah, chosen by Allah, guided by Allah, acknowledged by Allah, and endowed by Allah. Now that's the goal you and I need to try to get close to. If we're going to be successful in this world and make good decisions without falling under the tutelage of somebody who's got a twisted mind, then you and I need to be vigilant in our acquisition of knowledge through introspection, cogitative thinking, and constantly questioning, not to create doubt in the questions, but to get clarity so that you can connect the dots fairly and squarely. For Allah loves that to such an extent that the Messenger of Allah has stated that when a human being is busy doing this, which I just discussed, even if it was decreed upon their birth that they were going to die at this age, whatever the age it may be, Allah prolongs it and cancels and tells Malakul Maut, leave him, don't take his soul or her soul. So you'll find scholars of very high thought, they tend to live very long because they're constantly reflective, meditative, introspective. By doing so, there is sukoon in the heart. Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. When you do the dhikr of Allah, you have tranquility. Tranquility reduces anxiety. Anybody in the medical field will tell you that one of the worst poisons in a human being is anxiety. And when is anxiety exacerbated? When we're vulnerable. Vulnerability causes all kinds of misbehavior. People who lie, who cheat, who hurt, who find faults, who backbite, are vulnerable people. And they're holding on to straws by damaging others, thinking that they can survive. And when does vulnerability come into play? When there's lack of faith in Allah. For nothing can give you security but Allah. And if you're not convinced about Allah, then you are going to live a life of vulnerabilities, which is going to lead to self-destruction as well as those around us. That is the world we live in today. Karbala was exactly that. The Umayyads and his army were highly vulnerable, and they were chasing gold and silver and power and governorship. Whereas Imam Hussein on the other side was firmly footed to the point where he had no reason to be attracted by the glitter of this world, because his wisdom and understanding and the tranquility he has with God and the perfection of his understanding of the laws of God eliminated any form of vulnerability. Today, we're imbibing in massive doses of medication to try to calm the chemistry of our bodies, which is actuated by vulnerabilities, our fears, lack of understanding, confusion. These conversations should be not taken lightly. We as Muslim community are busy, if we're obedient to Allah, in the rituals. And rituals are good, but they are very dangerous if they are not sitting on the foundation of usul. Usul has no taqleed. No marja in the world can dictate usul ad-deen. It's wajib, compulsory on every intelligent being to reflect and have strength in the three core principles of usul ad-deen: tawheed, nubuwwah, qiyamah. Three cores. We extend from tawheed adalat. Adalat is part of tawheed. We extend it because of people in the world who negate the justice of God. So we extend it to make it loud and clear to them that this is where we stand with reference to something you are wrong about. And imamat is an extension of nubuwwah. If you believe in nubuwwah, you have to believe in wilaya. You have to believe in guardianship. You have to believe in successorship. And if you don't, you are in violation of the core principles of usul ad-deen. And by logic, the core of cores is tawheed and qiyamah, the core. And the core of the ultimate core is tawheed. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So if you rationally think that God created me intelligently, that means there must be a day of judgment. For I'm moral, I judge, and I have a habit of doing bad things, and I have habits of doing good things. Why do I have such habits? Even if I'm an atheist, I know that morals are important. And you and I as a human race cannot adjudicate in the sense of implementation of moral systems. It is by design intrinsic in everything around us. People argue that humans created morality. I laugh when they say that. I said, okay, if we created it, uncreate it. Remove it. Change it. Make lies good. And make truth bad. Try it, you foolish person. How about the morals of existence versus non-existence? Can you even describe that? That's beyond our concept. But we all know existence is superior to non-existence. So this is fixed by Allah. Therefore, I know since God created this, there must be reckoning. There must be reconciliation. There must be punitive measures. There must be a regard for my actions and transactions. This is where atheism falls apart. That the moral argument is survival of the fittest, and whoever can get away with it for the moment should do it. And there are no consequences, because when you die, there's nothing to be reckoned with. You know how deadly and dangerous it is? People like Netanyahu and people who commit evil acts like Stalin said that. There is no hereafter. Stalin said when you kill a person, the first one is murder. After that, it's a statistic. Imagine somebody belittling the life of another human being under the guise of statistics. People who are evil, who are genocidal on this earth, guaranteed don't believe in a hereafter. Therefore, they indiscriminately perform all these acts. Muawiyah, Yazid, Umar ibn Sa'd, Ibn Ziyad, Shimr al-Jawshan, Hurmala. None of these people believed in the Day of Judgment. Or they thought there's a loophole. And Allah swears that when they will be grabbed, what a foolish thought that Umar ibn Sa'd was given the governorship of Ray by Yazid. That if you kill Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, I will give you governorship. Imam Hussein looks at him and says, you won't even eat the wheat from Ray. You are so desirous of becoming the governor, you won't even eat their food.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Matin شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.